Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is brought to you along with Levi Solicitors, who are offering a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Michael and Rob here to tell you that it's 15% on...
Oh, your wills.
And your...
conveyancing.
Yep. And...
probate.
Correct. Well done, Michael.
Still 15%.
That is 15% until the end of January 2023. So if you are watching this on the day that it has come out, you've got nearly a whole month to take advantage of that discount. 15%, that's a lot, isn't it?
And if you are... watching, listening to this, you're still alive, which means you've still got time to do a will.
Yes. Yeah, that's very much the right way around to do it.
It's happy crucial. New Year.
Welcome to January, everybody. Propaganda returns for the new year as well in the wake of the Newcastle game. Propaganda where we try and answer some of the questions surrounding Leeds United and in the football world as well, centred around clips we have often dug up and a little bit of feedback from our TSB Plus members. Sometimes they're serious, sometimes not.
I'm focusing on the negative, obviously, as I tend to, but some people are positive.
Well, what we found from this, Rob, is that we just cannot get the Goldilocks zone just yet when it comes to talking about Leeds, particularly on the match ball. Some people are saying, I was going to say we're too negative. It's not me, because obviously I'm relentlessly positive now to the point where I'm almost like Jake Humphrey in my delivery of mantras and things like that.
Eddie Howe's a fan, isn't he?
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
He said he's got some of the players to listen to it.
All right. Maybe that's what's his thing called? His performance, what is it?
High performance podcast.
Maybe that's why they played well. Maybe that's why
they cast. I mean, 1.0 it's called, because it was the first one.
Right.
Jesse's going to be a fan, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Probably nagging him to get on.
Anyway, yeah, we were saying that too negative, too positive, somewhere right in the middle. It's hard to fathom, really, isn't it, where we should position ourselves. Like I was saying, I'm obviously now not feeling the pressure anymore of being a Leeds fan.
I think because we're not winning games, people are going to be cross anyway.
Yeah, that's what it always is, isn't it?
Some people are angry that they believe that more positive thinking can turn results around. Other people think sacking everyone and setting fire to the whole thing can turn things around.
When actually it's all just irrelevant, isn't it?
Probably somewhere in the middle.
You're just lashing out at people. You're trying to find someone to blame. That's what it is, isn't it?
Who are we blaming?
No, I meant the listener.
Oh, okay.
You're blaming us just for talking nonsense on a podcast. Which is on YouTube and in your podcast player, by the way. Should we start with a clip? Because this show is really about the clips. They're the star of the show, not us blathering on about Leeds. Magpie TV, channel TV, TV channel Magpies.
That's the one.
Yep. First clip from them. A congratulations message you've labelled this as, Michael. I haven't heard this yet. So is it going to be nice and full of warmth and Christmas cheer?
Judge for yourself.
Their fans are quite unbearable, aren't they? I mean, celebrating that 0-0 there. I mean, to be fair, right, maybe that's a point that might keep them up at the end of the season, so maybe that's why they're celebrating, but they are an awful bunch, and there was some scenes at the end of the game where the police had to separate the fans and whatnot, and sad from them.
So?
I must admit, hearing some of these Newcastle clips has made me sort of reevaluate the game. Good, I enjoyed that actually, looking back.
Yeah, because
it was a lot better than I thought.
When the performance isn't great, which it wasn't, and we'll get onto that in a minute, you do take out of it whatever you can, don't you? And in this case, it was them being annoyed in much the same way we were annoyed, like Everton and Wolves and things like that.
Yeah, and I think...
that's what football's about, isn't it?
And there's a difference as well between being at the game and just watching the game at home, because obviously if you're at the game, you don't give a shit how your points are won. It makes more difference, does the result. Whereas I think maybe watching it on telly, you're a little bit more, I don't know, a bit more calculated about it, and you can kind of go, well, there was all these chances and stuff, whereas in a ground, you just go, nah!
Yeah, you get swept.
You couldn't score, you idiots.
You get swept up with the occasion, don't you, when you're in the ground. But yeah. I find it a lot more stressful watching on telly than I do when I'm inside the stadium. I can kind of, I can almost ride the wave of whatever the emotion is, the prevailing emotion inside the stadium.
Mm. I don't know, I find it quite stressful in the stadium as well sometimes. It depends on the game. But yeah, I think it's...
It's more of a collective experience though when you're in the stadium, isn't it? You've got at least like 3,000 other people there with you, if not the whole stadium when it's Elland Road.
We're veering there though into like the Gabig Bonlahor celebration police, where he kind of, he thinks no one should celebrate anything unless they've actually won a trophy. Like if someone was... Which game was it this year we won? It was scored in the last minute and he was saying, oh, they're celebrating like they've won the Champions League or something. It's like, well...
To be fair,
it's got a last minute winner. Obviously, you're going to celebrate it.
Agbonlahor's thick as shit, and you know he doesn't mean it. He's just there to be an agent provocateur on TalkSport because that's what they do. And this is not dissimilar to what this guy's doing, which is he don't mean that.
Well, in fairness, he's doing this for Newcastle fans, isn't he?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and he's doing it to get reactions on his daft channel, unlike us, who are here to be doing serious analysis on the game and the fans and all that sort of stuff. So, to the comments that we received from our TSB Plus members as well. And going back to the idea of the Goldilocks zone, some were saying we were too negative, some saying we were rightly negative, some saying we were too positive and too negative. So where do you want to start? Should we start with Alexander's comment? Because this made me laugh at this. And I think it's one of those clickbait headlines. Six words that will sum up the Squareball podcast. And it says, how are you guys so sad? We got a point against the third place team in the league with unlimited resources after only 2 days rest. We played a shithouse game plan because it was needed. Look how other outlets are covering the game to see some objectivity. Yeah, you pair of chumps. Why don't you enjoy it more?
Okay.
Unlike me.
Yeah, the other outlets thing's interesting because I've always felt, sort of increasingly in the Bielsa era, I noticed that what Match of the Day or whatever said was essentially based entirely on the result. Mm-hmm. They'd just completely carve a narrative around whatever the result was. And they clearly don't all watch every game, do they? So they'd be given like a highlights package and go, okay, Melier's made some good saves. They've dug out a result there or whatever. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't watch Match of the Day this week.
Do you know
because,
what?
Because I didn't want to see it again.
Well, exactly. I did. I watched it up to a point and I realised they were pushing us later and later because it was a 0-0. But Shearer was on there. So I thought, I'm not watching it. As a matter of protest, I'm not watching it. I've got no interest in what a biased commentator like Alan Shearer has got to say on the matter. So I switched it over. Unlike us, who can be obviously correctly objective.
100%.
Who else then suggested we were too negative?
West End Ralph raises a good point. Agree, it's not been a good watch this season, but think today was a very good point. And sometimes you have to sacrifice the good plays to get the result. I think this is where I kind of agree with Ralph. Newcastle only lost one game all season, so this is a big point, especially if we win Wednesday, lose, and then this means fuck all, which is kind of where I'm at with Jesse's Leeds. So I'm always looking ahead to the next game now of like, well, is this how we are, or are we going to get better? And it was a good point looking back. And I think it was hard for us to be too joyful about it because we had just sat.
I mean,
and
I was
it.
My new upbeat persona, which is entirely 100% serious, and you should take everything I say when I'm saying that seriously.
New year, new you.
All that.
And especially, I think after the 2 days rest is a fair point to make that they did have a lot more rest than us, and it was.
But it was funny when that point dawned on us on the match ball. Somebody pointed it out in the comments. And we're like, oh yeah,
yeah. You think, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. And it was one of the Leeds players. I think it was Robin Cock who was talking about. In the build-up to the Newcastle game, they just weren't really able to train, so it was all sort of done on video and things like that. But yeah, but then I'm looking to these next four or five games. It's like, right, come on, then now show us that
it isn't all
just like this.
MG Dodger suggested we were battered by the best side in the world, talking about Man City, I presume, rather than Argentina. Then 50 hours later, go away to super hostile Newcastle. Was it?
There's some flags.
They waved some flags.
Some flags and some Martin Offler.
Fine, and dig out a heroic draw. And you boys didn't think it was stylish enough. Fuck's sake. Yeah, you boys.
Well, it wasn't very... I mean, the stat, I think it was Johnny Cooper, the stat of in the second half, it was the...
59 passes, wasn't it?
59 passes in the opposition half or something, which is the lowest since 2015.
It might have even been 59 completed passes full stop, I think.
Was it? Yeah. It was bad anyway. And that is essentially how it felt, because we never had possession, did we? We just were twatting it clear and then they were attacking again.
I suppose that's the thing, going back to the two previous points, when Ralph says sometimes you have to sacrifice the good plays to get the result, it was like, well, did we actually sacrifice it or were we just crap? And likewise with the shithouse game plan, was that just kind of a reaction to how we were playing and how we had to, at the end, time waste? Because there's no chance we were actually going to create anything.
Yeah, because I think we've seen that time wasting is not normally something we're majorly into, is it? I think in most games we're the ones trying to keep the game moving and stuff.
Whereas, yeah, so we can be excused in this game for every now and again.
But it was
because we were very tired.
But it suggests to me it was a little bit off the cuff. We kind of went, oh, this is going really badly. Let's just slow it down as much as we possibly can.
Which is good. Right, yeah. That's a valid way of doing it. I think it's different when you're time wasting from minute one, isn't it?
And as you were saying, we were chatting just off air before we started recording, Rob, that this was discussed on the Phil Hay show. Phil made the point, separate out the result with the performance. The two can be judged separately. And I think that's probably the fairest way to assess it, isn't it?
Yeah. And the first half, to go back to the tiredness thing, I thought the first half was actually all right. We had a bit of a go at them. I know they still had the majority of the chances and what have you, but we did look like a bit of a threat in the first half.
Do we need some half-time power naps?
Possibly.
Just to refresh.
Or maybe just a bit more actual rest.
Can you power nap, or does it not work for you?
Nah, not at all.
Rob?
No, I feel worse after a nap.
All right, okay. My record power nap was 3 minutes, and it worked.
Was that a deliberate power nap for 3 minutes?
No, because we went to Egypt, me and my wife, and you know when you book like one of these casino dinners, they want to get you in the casino early.
Never ever booked a casino dinner.
Please
go on.
There's a casino at the other end of the resort. So I'm a Sharm el Sheikh, Nama Bay.
You say it as if it was like, you know, an online shop or something. You know, no, casino dinner.
You go away to a resort and there's a casino there, and the tour operator will try and sell you a dinner.
I'm buying the tour operator's things?
Dinner and anyway, it's dinner and a show, and you pay however much to go do that. It's because they want people in the casino early.
What show was it?
I can't remember. It was like a dinner show.
Tina Turner.
Singing and dancing.
All right.
Do you know what? It might have been like a tribute act type thing, maybe. So, but we'd gone and done some scuba diving in the afternoon, and it's knackering is scuba diving. You get absolutely exhausted from doing it. Even though you're only paddling through the water, it's a really good calorie burn. I can recommend it if you want to get in shape. And we were at the other end of the resort, got a bus transfer from one end of the resort to the other. It was only about 5 minutes, but they bus you across. And I just could not stay awake like on the bus because we didn't have a chance to go back and have a kip after the diving. It ran quite late into the afternoon, and obviously dinner's starting at 7 or 8 or whatever time, so you've got to get ready and go out again. I was like, I'm so knackered, and sat on the bus, and I went like that, and I shut my eyes for about 3 minutes, and I went ping, and woke up, and I was fine for the whole evening. She was like, you all right now? I was like, yeah, I'm fine.
I'm healed.
Yeah, that was it.
So you're suggesting that?
Power naps, yeah, 3-minute power naps at half time.
Okay.
Get it done, Jesse.
They just need your fitness level and mentality.
That's all they need. Yeah. That's all they need. If they need to draft me in as a sleep coach.
In moments, you sleep.
Where we were saying, Zach's comments, Michael is talking like we've just scraped a 0-0 draw against Steve Bruce's 16th place Newcastle. This Newcastle team are third in the Premier League. Yeah, Michael.
Souls. I think the difference with the Man City game, though, was it does need to be noted that, you know, this is a team with Longstaff and who else is bad? Chris Wood in it. Like, players who are not Champions League calibre. They I know they've spent some money, but, I mean, their star striker wasn't even playing, was he? So that's why Chris Wood was. So, I mean, they were beatable, even if their results this year suggest they're not.
Well, I think we said it might have been when we were talking with Phil on Monday, actually, that the ninth placed finish and Bielsa's football has almost become a bit of a millstone around our necks, because it's artificially raised the bar of what we think a Leeds team should be doing, especially as there are so many players in this Leeds team who were around at that time as well. You know, the bedrock of the side is still there, isn't it? And we've kind of become accustomed to attacking football.
I've got a clip about that era, if you want.
Oh, have you got some? Where are we going to now? Is this the True Faith one?
The clip from True Faith. This is talking about that era, although it's kind of disguised.
Well, I was going to say, it's very important, isn't it, as we go into this clip, that, you know, in order to like establish your voice of authority, you get your facts right, which we always do. Obviously.
Always.
Yeah. So you'll notice from True Faith that they've very much done their research on this.
I don't like Leeds as a team. I liked them when they had their old manager, whose name I... Ancelotti, was that it?
Bielsa.
It's this Italian.
They're all grey old men.
Yeah. I liked them under him. I like the sort of like tenacity and spunk of coming back up and yada, yada, yada. But they were a spunky young side. Oh no, I'm sorry about that.
Bit rude, isn't it? Ancelotti. The Italians.
Yep.
Spunky Italians.
Famously Italian manager.
There you go. There's your analysis from True Faith. Thank you, lads and lasses. Great. Right, let's move on. Actually, some of the points you were bringing up there, lads, correct. Let's go on to the rightly negative comments. Healthy Heart Dan, where is our attack? Also, our passing's abysmal. That's fair. Both fair criticisms.
No. I'm going to be positive and say it was good passing.
Good lad.
I don't like to see the passes connect.
Those 50 passes or whatever it was, they were all connected.
And Dickie Wood does say, how have we gone from a carefree attacking side to that defensive nonsense? I mean, when you're under the cosh, you've got to be defensive, haven't you? There's no two ways about that. And you've got to spoil the game, break it up like we did. Doesn't mean you have to enjoy the style of it, though, does it?
Are we defensive, though? Or do you think we just can't attack?
I don't think
we do a lot of defending.
That's a good, that's a good question. But yeah,
I don't think we're defensive by design. Yeah, if you, I know what you mean.
And that was the thing that worried me reading some of the reaction to the game with Robin Koch saying we put a lot of focus on set pieces because we knew they were really good at them. And Jesse Marsh saying, you know, we spent a lot of re-season working on set pieces and a lot of focus ahead of Newcastle. And then you think, but they nearly scored from a load of set pieces. Like, I know they didn't, and that's good. And having a really good goalkeeper is a good thing because they're still part of the team. But they had like, it was share, wasn't it? It was just at the back post three every time.
On three occasions.
And it's not, you know, the result says, oh yeah, we didn't concede from a set piece. But you think, we should have done, probably.
That's why I got annoyed in the post game when Dan mentioned Jesse sort of, I can't remember the like, context of it, but it was kind of saying, oh, it's really good to get a clean sheet. And it's like, we didn't deserve a clean sheet.
So. Yeah, it's a results business though, Michael. And you know, you can tell from my new positive upbeat persona that I'm very much enjoying.
Yeah, it's true.
Results.
It reminded me a bit actually of this game. I was thinking about it. Do you remember when I think Redfern was in charge? We went to Middlesbrough and won, and they absolutely battered us for like Silvestri made about 40 saves in it. And it was one of those that it was just funny.
Proper smash and grab.
It was a real, yeah. I think Bamford might be playing for Borough, in fact. Probably. I mean, might not. But around that time anyway. And I really enjoyed that because it was funny. And I should enjoy this because it's funny.
Maybe it would have been funnier if we'd actually won.
Well, Liverpool was hilarious when Melier made all those saves and we win it at the end. But we did win it. And that was the big fun thing. Like, we scored a goal. Amazing. Great. Whereas this, it was like, yeah, we've got the Melier stuff. And it was funny watching Chris Wood just miss the ball and some of their players just completely fluff chances. But then, you know, there wasn't the fun element to it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
RYHLUFC says we're genuinely shite, and the crux of this argument is we turned up like a conference side playing a championship side in the cup, and it's only by virtue of the fact that they're shite we didn't lose 4-0.
I mean, maybe we did used to say under Bielsa, in the first sort of 10 minutes of a game, you'd get a measure of whether or not it was going to be a good day or a bad day. And I guess maybe we realised this was going to be a bad day and reacted accordingly and just
dug in. Yeah.
Which maybe is the right thing to do.
Well, Michael, you're new all positive persona joining me here in the positive pond. Nathan says, I can fully get behind Michael's pessimism after that. Going forward, we look horrible.
Go on, Nathan.
But Nathan does say, if Jesse Marsh can actually coach some sort of attacking plan into them and the three Musketeers give us a centre forward, we should be okay. Just
the lack of centre forward does damages in these games because you're just desperate to get it forward and have it in their half for a little bit. And that isn't Rodrigo's game, is it? Holding the ball up.
You need it to stick, don't you? Which is where Bamford is good.
Yeah. So, that does make a big difference, I think. And then bringing Gellert got his usual 10 minutes or whatever, didn't he?
We've got a left back now. Max Verber, or not. I mean, he was a little bit evasive in the Q&A in the interview after signing as to whether he'd be playing left back or centre back or both, maybe.
Well, possibly, yeah. I'm pleased we've done business early. Obviously, I've no idea if it's any good. I'm not going to pretend my 5 minutes on YouTube amounts to extensive scouting.
Do you think Victor does more than that? I said before that like Y Scout is basically glorified YouTube. It's just more focused than it. I mean, and these kids who put together the videos on YouTube, I think they just have like Y Scout accounts, don't they, and create compilations. So is it really any better?
I'm of the opinion we should probably just recruit Salzburg recruitment people.
Right.
Probably quicker, wouldn't it? Cut out the middle, man.
Do you think Victor would do that? He'd sign his own replacement.
Just might as well, really. We don't seem to look outside of that, do we?
And do you want the Red Bull recruitment funds? Do you want those people to come and take over? Is that what you're saying? Red Bull.
No, not the people, not the club. No. Just their staff.
We should say Richard Idle, who is Yorkshirelad 110 on Twitter, was doing the Max Verber stalking on Monday night, losing track of the days, and was the one who got the exclusive snaps outside the East Stand. And Richard, long after the horse had bolted, suggested that the club had asked him not to put those photos out because they wanted to save it for the announcement on Tuesday morning. Ah, well, said Richard. So well done, Richard.
I did watch the...
Thanks for the exclusive as well.
The episode of the RB Salzburg documentary where they sign Verber, and he's got quite a Leeds transfer story there because he missed his flight to Salzburg, so it starts with them all worrying about whether they're actually going to get him or not.
Should we go back to the Magpie channel, TV Magpie channel?
That's the one, yeah. This is him talking about the Leeds fans now.
Yeah, I bet he said some really nice things as well.
Great bunch of lads.
Great to have you in town.
Good away support, he says.
Yeah.
Their fans are quite unbearable, aren't they? I mean, celebrating that 0-0 there. I mean, to be fair, right, maybe that's a point that might keep them up at the end of the season, so maybe that's why they're celebrating. But they are an awful bunch, and there was some scenes at the end of the game where the police had to separate the fans and whatnot, and... Oh, sad. Sad from them.
Sad from them, but yeah. Our fans were all just stood there, not getting involved. Honestly, it's all pretend, isn't it? This performative bullshit. Shut up.
Also, because they spent a lot of the time making out Newcastle are now a world force.
Yeah.
You're going to have to accept people are going to celebrate nil-nils.
Yeah. And you're not a world force. You're just having a bit of a good run of form at the minute.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll do fine with their blood money, which is fair enough.
Yeah. They'll probably finish like seventh this year, won't they, in the end? Which is good. Yeah, get into Europe.
If you get Champions
players.
League, have a nice time, whatever. We're fine. Just enjoy your own success. Don't worry about us. We'll be fine.
And our success is a nil-nil.
Exactly. That's how we measure ourselves these days, isn't it? So, Wisconsin Todd has been on, suggesting we were both too positive and too negative.
Is that between us, or...?
I'm not sure, really. Can you read out Wisconsin? We haven't got the audio today, but can you read it out in Wisconsin Todd's authentic Wisconsin voice?
We don't even know where Wisconsin is, do we?
Is it the Midwest?
What's a Midwest accent?
It's a very, very generic kind of... Well, you did Cowgirl Jane before, didn't you? Let's have a look. Wisconsin.
We've heard his voice before, but Wisconsin Todd. That's like what... that, I think. Listen to the match ball.
I love how this is becoming a hate crime. Right, so Wisconsin is...
I thought Mike was being too negative.
Hang on a minute. We haven't settled where Wisconsin...
Dan, it won't make any difference. I don't know.
Wisconsin is right up near the Canadian border, up that way, top of the country, and slap bang in the middle, near the Great Lakes. Yeah, it backs onto Lake Michigan.
Good.
And a bit of Lake Superior, which is a bit arrogant for a name of a lake, isn't it, that one? Anyway, go back to the start.
Better then.
I've missed this, so I need to hear it in the authentic voice.
Listening to the match ball, I was getting pissed. That means drunk or...
It means annoyed.
Annoyed. I thought Michael was being too negative and ignoring the truth of the better-than-expected result. I thought Dan was being too positive, even if tongue-in-cheek, and ignoring the truth of the Warnockian quality of play. In the end, I'm just pissed at myself for using the word Warnockian.
Fair enough.
You sound like White Leeds Radio a little bit.
It was me all along.
Unmasked. So you were too negative. I was too positive, even though I was only pretending, which I'm not.
Which you're not.
And Rob, where should we put Rob?
I am Goldilocks. I am the one in the middle.
Correct. Right. So what do we need then? What do we need out of all this?
Neil H says Chris Wood back. No. No.
You're not having him?
Let's just do better.
Just do better. Okay.
Yeah, them for free. If Newcastle are so rich, they're just like discarding him and paying his wages. That's fine.
Less than the sum of our parts, White Rose Wes is suggesting. Newcastle didn't deserve to beat us under Bielsa with that Shelby free kick this year. They definitely deserved all 3 points. Yeah, you always get what you deserve in football, do you? It's funny. We need a striker more than a left back. I don't know.
Well, we've got a left back now.
So it's true now.
it's correct. Yeah. Questions about these last two games being unable to control the ball and play it forward. Mitigation there is who we've been playing, but anyway.
He does ask who is our most creative player. Who do you want to have the ball when we attack? We don't have Pablo or Rafinha anymore. And I have sort of forgotten that Luis Sinisterra plays for us. He's been, you know, we've not seen him for so long. And I think that ability that Nonto has, which has really impressed us all since he's come into the team, where he can just beat a man and keep the ball. And Aronson's got it a little bit, albeit he can be a bit lightweight at times. But Sinisterra really has that, where if we're a bit stuck or we're not quite sure, we just pass him the ball and he will do something. Like, he'll beat a few players and the whole shape of the game sort of changes then. So I guess we are, you know, we're bemoaning that lack of attacking edge and creativity, and we are down one of our key players that we signed in the summer.
I guess in the centre of the pitch, it's clear that Adams' job is to break it up a bit, as I guess was Forshaw's to an extent, and then there's Aronson who you expect to do some of the attacking stuff, but because that's a bit 100 miles an hour, it never really, there's not, it doesn't ever seem to be much time in midfield, does there? Which I think is by design,
yeah,
to a large extent, because that's part of why we bought Aronson, was that he'd get the ball and run quickly at people and vertical passes and that sort of stuff. But it can, when you just need to take a breather and get your foot on the ball for 2 minutes, it can be a little bit frustrating sometimes.
There's some interesting comments here on Marsh from Hartley Hare, who's saying, I don't want Marsh to fail, which I think is one of the important points to make as well, is like this always, as is such as the nature of the internet, gets polarised into arguments about Bielsa and Marsh and things like that. And you touched on this actually in the match ball, Michael, saying, I don't want Marsh to fail. I want him to be a success like he was in Austria. But no one expected after 10 months in charge that there'd be so little progress. Marsh doesn't know his best 11 or favoured formation. How much longer can Rads allow him to muddle along learning on the job? Well, that's a subjective thing, isn't it? Obviously, the point of what we're doing here is subjective. I think it is important to say that, isn't it? Nobody wants him to fail. Everyone wants it to work. It's just different people see different things when they watch a Marsh side. And some of it's rooted in hope, some of it's rooted in reality. It's quite hard to unpick it, isn't it? As is reflected by the, you're too positive, you're too negative, you never quite get it right.
And I think there's an inevitability about when you're not winning games, that whatever the manager says will tend to annoy you a bit. So you'll then listen to some excuses or, I guess, some praise of something you don't believe is praiseworthy, and you'll go, oh, fuck off. If you've not been impressed by the performance, everything goes from that, doesn't it, essentially? So whereas when Bielsa came in, he could say what he wanted because we were winning games, so no one really cared. People weren't looking to pick holes in it then, were they? Because everything seemed fine. Whereas now, I think it's only fair that people are a bit concerned by certain things.
Mm. Should we go back to Magpie TV channel, TV Magpie?
Yes, this talks about about a bit about our style of play and Jesse, actually.
Signed from the manager as well, Jesse March and his players. I thought that was an awful, awful set-out plan by their team today. Crap. I thought Leeds were this expansive, free-flowing football team. Is this American guy still the same? Captain America? Captain Jackass? Is he still the same as Bielsa? No? Where was it? I didn't see it. I seen dirty Sunday league tactics today. Awful. Proper pub team behaviour from them today. All they wanted to do was waste time, scruffy play, dirty play, snapping into people, trying to cause reactions off certain players like Joe Linton, trying to snap everyone. Oh, it was crap to watch. They ruined it.
Newcastle, the moral guardians of the game now.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot, Captain Jackass as well. Is that a thing?
No.
I don't think anyone ever said he was sort of doing the Bielsa thing either.
Well, actually, I suppose Angus Kinnear did.
Well, yeah.
When he first came in.
Yeah, Leeds did used to be this expansive attacking thing, and now we're not. Now we're narrower. But, you know, you need to know something about football to recognise that, don't you, lads? Hey
but we upset him, so.
I don't think we really upset him, did we? He's just doing that for his daft channel.
I don't know. I think we did, to be honest.
It's towards the end, didn't they? You see the Newcastle players sort of lose their heads a bit, which again was good.
What you want to do. Yeah, exactly, if you can't win the game on footballing terms, piss them off.
Yeah.
Make them lose their heads.
And also, like, Eddie Howe, wherever he's been, his teams have had a reputation of being diving, time-wasting cheats. So, I mean, you know, that's football.
Rewind 12 months, as we mentioned on the match ball, to that game at Elland Road when they were doing exactly the same thing, breaking it up, wasting time, going down.
Yeah, and from the first minute they were doing that as well, Elland Road. First half, I thought we at least tried to have a game with them. And then the second half descended.
We at least waited before cheating.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Which makes us the winners.
Yeah, exactly. And Callum Wilson shoved our poor spider boy.
Speaking of shithousery, Ginger Paul was asking, do I have some dubious stats about the number of shithousings per game related to points? Or should we get LUFC data deployed onto this one?
That was definitely our highest shithousing for a number of years, I would say.
Like, what's the stat at XSH?
Maybe.
Ex-shit.
But there was a very high shithousery quotient, I have to agree. But if these Newcastle fans bothered to turn up to Elland Road on Wednesday against West Ham, you'll see football purists, Leeds United, take to the field and attack from the off and try and beat West Ham without resorting to such underhanded tactics this time. Maybe it was their team that made us do it.
If we want to drag out a 1-0 win on tomorrow night, I'm more than up for that. Yeah. Just get some points, for fuck's sake.
And just finally then, before we do the last clip, Ghost Shark hasn't left the clip this time, but has said the Yank Badger, this is Aronson, so lightweight, I was amazed he didn't blow away in the wind. He needs to toughen up. This is your bugbear, isn't it, Michael?
Yeah, he needs to stop trying to win free kicks as much and actually...
Why though? We're shithousing Leeds United now.
Yeah, but it's annoying. He annoys me watching him but it annoys me and he plays for my team. I end up going, get up, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, because he doesn't get free kicks every time either. I think people know exactly what he's up to and he's not Bruno Fernandes, so he doesn't get...
Can you do an impression of what you think his voice sounds like when he's pleading for free kicks?
Mom!
Kick me, Mom! Great stuff.
Yeah, he's got a little whiny little face, and I think it doesn't probably play that well with referees. It would if he was like a scum or something.
Yeah, but... you're in the wrong shirt. It's about the size of it, isn't it? We need to pair him up with Charlie Creswell, don't we? Get him all hench.
Well, this was my summer plan for Dan James that they didn't do. Rather than saying Traore, just get Dan James on the roids.
Yeah. He's having a nice time at Fulham, isn't he? You see the feedback on his performances. There was that clip that showed all his involvements from coming off the bench. He won him a penalty, to be fair.
Mm.
But
dive?
It was probably by accident. I think he stood still rather than anything else happening. Someone just ran into him. Bless him. Would you have him back?
We're going to have him back, aren't we? I don't think Fulham are going to buy him.
Ah, well.
They're seventh, aren't they?
Yeah.
Something mad.
Yeah. You've got Brentford, Fulham and Chelsea were like in the, but all three in that order in the top half of the division because they were showing this, the table from a West London perspective on the football, I was going to say, Monday night, yeah?
Someone like Fulham, they're, I guess, the inconvenient bit of arguing that this is good and that we're doing well this season and this is what we should expect because Fulham are making it look easy and are scoring goals and playing good football.
And Brentford too.
Yeah. I did. That was on in the pub yesterday, and it was quite funny watching him batter Liverpool.
Mm.
Although it devalues our win against Liverpool because it turns out they're rubbish.
Right, let's close the show out on this one. It was discovered by @GeorgeLUFC on Twitter, who must have clipped it from some sort of Geordie fan channel. So
yeah, I was trying to find the original channel. I couldn't find it. But
ah, well.
I think George has done such a good job of making a clip. I thought we'll just use.
Yeah,
use
this. This one was widely circulated. You may have heard it. You may have seen it. But let's enjoy it one last time.
Stay on, man. Fucking scummy bastards. Leeds United are fucking scum. Pure Leeds scum. That is not what a fucking joke. What a fucking joke this game is. The scummy c**ts, a lot of these lads. Fucking Odyssey.
Hearing that does make the performance on Saturday.
Makes it all worthwhile. It does
make it all worthwhile. Yeah, so maybe we do need to be more positive and understand that if we could put ourselves in the shoes of the opposition fans when we're playing like that, that we'd enjoy those things.
Well, football is a game that should be enjoyed live, and he was enjoying it. it's at its best, though, isn't it? I think when you're either enjoying it or suffering it live,
yeah.
The emotions are definitely heightened.
I think where Leeds are concerned, suffering is probably the appropriate adjective.
Yeah, mainly.
Is it verb?
It's not a doing word. Well, I suppose it is. It's kind of. Yeah, it can be a number of things.
Whichever. Thank you, English teachers, for correcting me. By the way, which you will do. Whichever of those it is. But yeah, Leeds United, the art of suffering. Shall we wrap it up there then? We've got a West Ham preview to come as well because we're playing them on Wednesday. So look out for that in your feed. And we thank you for joining us on this one. We'll see you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.